Hey everyone, this is John. I just want to talk to you real quick before the episode actually got started and apologize for our audio in this particular episode. We were having mic trouble at the time and didn't realize it until after our recording session. Episode's still fun, so bear with us and we get back on track in the next episode or so.
Hey, bro, Batman,
it's
really
exciting.
Bruce Wayne, Espa? I'm Batman.
I am the Prince.
Welcome to Superstitious and Cowardly, a Batman podcast for the warden us all. I am John Pfeiffer.
And I'm Chris Winia.
Ryan won't be here. He is down with the croup, unfortunately.
That is unfortunate. So, this is a Batman podcast. We're kind of looking at different eras of Batman. We're stuck in the golden age for now.
I'm waiting for it to get over with because I wanted to stay in it and really get into it. But the more and more I do it, the more and more I want to get out of it. So as soon as we can skip out of this.
Well, I can understand that, but to a certain extent, you're definitely seeing the beginnings of Batman, particularly in our last
one. That's why I want to stay for it.
The outfit is like pretty much what it was. He's doing a lot of things that would be iconic Batman movements, even though like every week the logo changes. Last week's was actually the one that they will adopt until late 70s, maybe even early 80s. So there are definitely things that will become staples that are starting to show up. Haven't seen that gun that he apparently has every single day.
Oh, it's coming. Actually,
I know it's coming.
Actually,
today.
In one of the issues that we talk about today, you see it. Actually, you see it in both issues a little bit. And I'm actually kind of excited for that because some of it's cold-blooded. Like, very cold-blooded.
One of it is. One of it is not. So we'll get into that. So I got a question for you before we start off, John. Right now, we are kind of stuck in probably the Bronze Age of superhero movies.
Okay.
Every single movie that's coming out, there's like, it used to be every year you might have one.
Oh, God, I just thought of something.
What's that?
If this is the Bronze Age, then eventually we're going to have Extreme 90s, and I don't know if I can handle that.
Well, we kind of are. DC's already covering the Extreme 90s. So what are some of your thoughts about the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the DC Extended Universe, I think they're calling it?
Marvel's playing it safe, I think, after a while. I mean, I don't mean to dog on Marvel. I mean, Marvel, to me, is much better cinematic. DC's definitely killing it right now for me for current like comic books and stuff like that. But DC's also better at animated movies, I feel. Like, they're still strong on that. Like, they've had some missteps, but when they let their creative teams for the animated stuff do their thing, they've been pretty strong. I think they've made some missteps. Wonder Woman actually made kind of a step closer in the right direction.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard that it's very good.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very well received, which the other ones can't say that.
And sometimes I think people are just so eager to dog on it, but I think it being a female character actually kind of helped a little bit because it was able to remove itself from previous movies a little bit because it was so different. It was set at a different time period. It's, you know, the first DC live-action movie that's featuring a female character, besides for maybe some TV movies or something like that.
Well, DC is kind of doing more of the TV route, too.
And actually,
I
think they're
doing like Netflix, but DC has, the CW has, what, 7 shows right now?
Yeah, they're adding Black Lightning, too, in the fall, I think. They're putting more effort, I think, into TV. Movie-wise, I hope to see some positive things. I'm actually kind of excited for Aquaman. He doesn't have a hook for hand or anything, but he's got that long hair again, so that's kind of nice. And I don't know, it depends on how they treat that potential, because Justice League has six members in it. As far as we know right now, I want to see how they fill that roster in a little bit. Do they forget about Green Lantern entirely? Do they have a Martian Manhunter in it? Because I would be very excited for that. They might not because he's in a TV show. He's in Supergirl, actually. It's Marvel does better. Marvel's... I'm dying. Someone could tell I was talking shit about Marvel, and just wanted to yell at me. Marvel's going to keep making more money. I think people are tired of the gritty route that DC was taking, so hopefully they lighten up enough, and
hopefully they do,
and let it take its course. I want people to give it a chance. I think it still deserves a chance. I'm always going to think that those kind of things deserve a chance. I mean, we're on a third iteration of a live action Spider-Man. I think we can give Marvel a chance every time.
The only problem I see with Marvel is that I never want to see the movies again. Like,
I don't mind watching the first Captain America over.
I enjoyed, like, I didn't even like the first Captain America. Like, Civil War had some good stuff into it. I have absolutely, it's free on Netflix right now. I don't care.
That's fair.
Avengers 2, never wanted to see it again. Avengers 1, I don't really care
to see
it again.
And that's interesting, because I was talking about DC animated stuff. I'm much more willing to watch an episode of Justice League Unlimited that I've watched for years than I am for anything else, really.
So yeah, let's move on. I actually got a present for you, John.
Wow, I'm excited. Like, I saw you bring it in, but I haven't gotten a good look at it. Is this a Toys R Us bag?
Yep.
Oh, that's nice.
It's a toy.
It's a toy. I'm trying to, like, pull this away from the mic so you don't hear a bunch of
I think some people like crinkle tinkles though.
Like the ASRM stuff or whatever. Yeah. That's for you.
I didn't wrap it.
No, I wouldn't expect you to. Oh, it's like a model, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, that's pretty cool. This is I'm holding how do you pronounce it? Sprickets?
Sprickets.
Sprickets.
Designed in Japan.
Designed in Japan, posable figure model kit. It's Batman Arkham City version of them. For a second, I thought it was like Chris Nolan Batman. I was going to throw them in the garbage. Not a fan. But Arkham City, I like quite a bit.
There's one good Christopher Nolan movie.
Yeah, there you go. And Bandai makes a set, and I know they do a lot of their, I think they do a lot of their Gundam model sets and stuff like that too, so that'll be fun. If and when we start putting these out, I will try to put a picture of a completed version on Twitter. Hopefully by that time I actually have it built and everything.
It doesn't take long. It took me a night.
Oh, you got one too?
I got one too. They were 90% off.
Oh, cool.
I got this for $5.
Did you get like the same one?
I got the same one.
All right, that's actually pretty cool. So yeah, I will totally put that on our Twitter, which would be SAC Batpod, if I remember correctly. It'll be SAC Batpod and, you know, everything, basically. So that's how we're going to reach out to a lot of people is what I'm planning on. And today we are going to talk about Detective Comics 32 and 33. In Detective Comics 32, Batman catches up to the monk, who is now a vampire, apparently. And in Detective Comics 33, our first but not last look at the death of Thomas and Martha Wayne. And we have blimps from above. And that actually is a cool-looking blimp, and I'll be looking forward to talking about that, actually. This is Detective Comics 33. I love that. I love doing that so much. I opened my cheap-ass beer with my Batman animated series bottle opener. Which is just a really cool Batmobile, and I love this thing.
And then he put the magnet right next to his computer.
I'm moving that as fast as I can. So we open up to Detective Comics 32, which doesn't feature Batman on the cover for being so popular at the time, but he does have a little, you know, honorable mention and everything.
Yeah, the Batman is at the very top. So last issue, if you guys remember, we met the monk who kidnapped Batman's fiance,
for some reason. And for all we know, it's just her. It's not like a big human trafficking ring or anything. It's only the one person. So I don't know if there's anything to gain, if he just has a big fetish. There's no real clear motivation as to why her at all.
He chased after the monk, and the monk escaped him. But we had a lot of, like I said in the beginning, we had a lot of elements that are going to be big Batman things in the future. The costume is pretty much how it's going to be until probably about Flashpoint, until Nightfall when they go with the all black.
And actually in a few issues, we're going to see that get a little bit tighter even, where that reminds me of stuff a lot closer to the 70s than I would have. They do such a weird take in the 50s that you almost forget that they had done some of these looks.
And so Batman was doing a bunch of like the dark poses that you kind of see, you know, the Bela Lugosi, put your cape over your face. We have a lot of roping. We have our first recurring like supernatural villain. So a lot of Batman staples are showing up in this. I think that's why this issue is so well remembered, because all these elements will be kind of what they do from now on.
When I was reading this again and again and again, because I wanted to really be prepared for today, the amount of times I read Silken Rope, it just makes me feel that, you know, I think Gardner Fox and sometimes Bill Finger, they're trained off at this point for writing. One of them has some kind of a fetish with the Silken Rope. There can't be that many utilities where a silk rope is so much better than any other kind at the moment. Where,
well, what are they doing with those? It feels great. So let's start off. How did last issue even end? I don't remember.
You know what? That is a really good point. It ends with Batman rescuing his girlfriend and traveling to Hungary with her in his, what they're calling the Bat Gyro now. And the very next episode, they call the Bat Plane. So they're on the trail of the monk. Batman has his fiance back.
He escaped from a castle with a big monkey in it.
Yeah, and he has Bruce Wayne's... I forgot about the monkey.
Yeah.
Well, we had a little break in between recording, and I completely forgot about that monkey. It gets so much more confusing now that I think about that.
Well, but... We have set it up enough.
The issue ends with Batman saving his fiance and then going after the monk, because I assume he wants to stop any potential future threats.
So, smash cut. We begin Meteor Rez. He's chasing after a carriage. He swings onto it and throws a gas pellet inside, not really knowing who's inside, and throws the driver away. And he looks in, and there is Morgana the Kissing Bandit passed out inside.
Now, I noticed, like, the way the carriage is drawn and everything, you don't know if he's throwing, like, the horses fell off a cliff, and he's throwing him, you know, also off the edge.
He's holding him up Lion King style.
Yeah. Actually, you know, it's a little Batman, Bane kind of a thing, like breaking over his knee, like right before then.
So he finds a lady, but it's not the lady he was looking for.
He assumes that she's involved with the monk and just abducts her. And if he's wrong about that, he's just kidnapping people and he's no better than the monk.
One of the things that we've kind of noticed is that Batman is a really shitty detective in this. So
extremely so.
We don't know why he's even done any of this stuff. They never really explain everything. For all we know, he just saw a carriage and he just hates him. So he kidnaps his girl and he goes to the Bat Gyro, which is apparently...
It's now the Bat Plane, they call it in this issue.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, they call it the Bat Plane in this issue.
Semantics. Anyways, it's just apparently has stealth hover capabilities, so it's just driving around. He didn't start out the issue in it. He started out in a tree.
You think someone would be driving around that carriage going, that's kind of odd, right? Batman's got to be nearby. He parked his car up in the air. They're hanging out.
So he decides to take this chick home with him.
And he takes her, and he introduces her to his fiance. I mean, it's not known, because he's dressed as Batman, it's not known that it's his fiance. It's just a woman that Batman saved. But he introduces her. She says that she was kidnapped by the friend, and then that's it. Like, he assumes that she's associated with the monk, but that he assumes that she's also not a threat, and just has her room with his fiance, like, it's no big deal.
There's no separation. Who has been through some shit recently.
Right? And he just puts them together like it's no big deal. I mean, wouldn't you consider that maybe she's working with the monk, something, anything? It's just so... He's the worst detective right now. He's the world's worst detective. He has so much work.
We also haven't really seen the scenes that set up this, like, living arrangement that they have. They're apparently just in Hungary
in a castle?
It looks like a castle, actually. And he's just, like, chilling with her, and he's just abducting people, hoping somebody knows something about the monk.
Now, I think they mentioned that this is a hotel, but if you think about it, Batman's just waiting outside, like, in the hallway. So if somebody's going past, like, drunkenly back to their room and everything, they just see a guy dressed as a bat.
So he decides to sit in front of the doorway. And she comes out, and he notices that there's blood on her mouth.
Dahlia, right?
Yes. She's in a trance. She's in a trance, so when he tries to, like, touch her, she takes Heath Ledger's Oscar and smacks him in the back of the head with it.
I don't like that joke. But he lets his guard down very quickly, and as he's stunned, Dahlia has a chance to run away. He checks on his fiancée real quick and notices two red marks on her neck. So apparently vampires now in play. Before it was werewolves, now it's definitely vampires.
If anybody knows anything about vampires, is that that's bad news bears. It's either that they're going to keep drinking your blood until you're dead, or I think, there's so many different ways of vampires.
I think they can make you a slave.
They can make you a slave if they do that. They can make you drink your blood and you become a vampire. So, like, he doesn't really worry about any of that stuff.
If this issue has taught me anything, it's that the line between vampires and werewolves is very blurred, and much so, I mean, even if it's blurred
then. So he decides to give chase. He flies with his cape all of a sudden becoming bat wings. It looks pretty cool. Again, it's something that Batman will do many times over.
It's nice, but it's kind of like if Spider-Man hung from a tree that was like 8 feet tall.
Yeah,
like,
Spider-Man's not real at this point, though. So so he finally gets to her, and she's like, oh my god, the monk made me do all this stuff. You gotta help me. You gotta save me from the monk.
I'll help you if you can promise
you have to kill the monk. And he's just like, well,
maybe.
I've kind of killed a lot of people, but I don't know, we might be developing some type of moral code, so I'm not sure.
So they decide, you know, Dahlia's going to show Batman where the monk lives, where his HQ is. Batman really quick goes back to Bruce Wayne's fiance, says, you know, stay here. Don't let anyone try to hypnotize you anymore. Don't be tempted. I'm not going to, you know, do anything else, have anybody else watch you, nothing. Just be safe.
He says a line that I love, which is, this money will safeguard you.
From what?
How?
The monk didn't care about money before. He hasn't asked for anything when he abducted anybody.
So they fly around in the Bat Plane, which has a helicopter rotary on it, apparently.
Which is why it's a gyro, but it's clearly Bat Plane. I it's me being me, but let's move on.
And Annette just gets him, just from the ground, just snakes up, and she instantly goes, you fool, I was working with the monk the entire time.
The instant they land on the ground, the monk hypnotizes Batman, and Dahlia instructs the monk to call for Julia again, and she just walks over in about 5 minutes. I don't know how fast that Bat Plane is, but if she can catch up like that, either that or they're waiting outside for 2 hours, monk's just kind of looking at his watch, tapping his feet, Batman's just
all right. Stunned. So the monk wants revenge on Batman. I don't know why, but he wants an elaborate plan so that Batman will see that he's got Julia and that he's going to make her into a werewolf now, not a vampire. So he turns into what looks to be
a badger.
I was thinking more of Wolverine, but a badger works too.
He's supposed to be a werewolf, but it looks weird. Like it doesn't look like the animal it's intended is the bottom line. He's a vampire that can turn into a werewolf. We've established this
now. He turns into a werewolf, but he only does that to call other werewolves.
And put them in a pit, so he can put Batman in the pit, and the wolves would get them, or get him, apparently. There's no motivation for him, but maybe he's telepathic.
So he throws down gas pellets all night, and that is his, like, that is Batman's superpower and, in the next, like, two issues, just gas pellets.
And everywhere. He uses that, he tries to get out of the pit with that rope for hours on end. That same rope was able to, like, lasso onto buildings and go everywhere, but he can't get out of a 6-foot pit. So he eventually gets the idea to take his new gadget, the Batarang, tie it with his silken rope, and that's enough to, you know, give that rope some momentum and to climb out of there.
Yeah, he gets out. Because he has a grappling hook.
And no one's watching him. No one's waiting for him to die.
It's implied that it's been hours.
They're just assuming, like, okay, I'm going to bed. This has been, like, forever. He's not getting out of there.
It's enough time that it's daylight, so all the vampire werewolves are sleeping.
First thing Batman does is he checks on Julia. He magically just knows where she is in this giant
He looks
castle.
Into her sleeping and just goes, oh, she's safe.
He takes a statue, possibly the one that Julia used earlier, or Dahlia used earlier, melts it down, inserts it into a... with just a candle, like, that's not enough to melt a silver statue, but sure. He loads those, he fastens it into two bullets, loads it into a gun he's apparently been carrying, finds the werewolves, vampires, they're clearly sleeping in coffins, and then he kills them with silver bullets, which are meant for vampires. Which are they?
John, well, first off, okay, real talk, turn your chair around. You've been throwing around the W word quite a bit.
Is that
super racist?
Is that insensitive of me?
Yeah, it's lichen.
Am I not... Oh, have I been, putting my white privilege on blast?
Going to ignore it, but just, it's lichen from now on. Here we have the first time that Batman has used a gun, and he shot two people
point blank
while they're sleeping.
And you see the first look at the monk. He's just some old guy.
He's an old guy.
I think he has a monocle on. I can't quite tell. He's a little small in the image. And all of a sudden, his Bruce Wayne's fiance is in his arms. Apparently she woke up from the gun blast. And just ran towards them. And they say goodnight and they go back to Gotham.
But she gives him, like, she's very clingy right here. And it's she doesn't like know she, that that's Bruce.
It's almost like she knows, but she's not saying it out loud. Because you see her just hanging on him all the time in this issue. And a little bit last issue, really.
Yeah.
I go between if I find this issue fun or not. Because I've read it X amount of times. Just, wanting to be prepared for things. Where I think I gave myself a little bit of Stockholm Syndrome. Where I want to like it.
It moves along at a nice pace.
It does.
And there's not really that much to the story. He gets trapped. He gets taken over. He gets put into a wolf pen, but, like, that doesn't really stop him or anything. He's more...
It's a lack of follow-through from all these characters
that
bothers
him. He's more compounded by, like, the fact that his rope isn't long enough than anything else.
He's a... In the next issue, we're going to see him become a master, great athlete and a master scientist and all this other stuff. He can't figure to tie something heavy to a rope, so give it a little bit more of an oomph.
I think the only thing this is really, like, is the fact that he shot somebody. Which a lot of people will point to, like, oh, this happened all the time. I mean, we're... A number of issues in already. This is the first time he's even held a gun, unless I'm mistaken.
I think it is. The argument could be made that this is a different Batman. This is Earth, like, 2 Batman or something like that. I know that that kind of works for some characters, but when I read Batman, I, for the most part, usually consider Prime Batman for the most part.
You kind of do the Grant Morrison everything is real thing, right?
At least for that. I don't for Superman, because that's impossible. For Batman, his continuity doesn't change too often. I mean, timelines a little bit, but...
I don't necessarily think this really is, like, that much against, because he's killing something that's supernatural. You could argue that they're already dead and they're not human. You know what I'm saying?
It also shows that it's kind of, it was really created in a different time where this isn't a big deal. Like, you can put this in a comic book, show it to a kid, no one cares.
It's true.
I think it's partially a product of its time and
it is.
Really, it's a comic book and I should just relax. But here we are. Overall, did you like it, though?
It was an okay one, but, like, I think the last one was better because it was a more sweeping story. It kind of clipped along in different things. It had different set pieces to it. Whereas it's just kind of like, we go from castle to castle.
It's like, why do they even go to another building?
Yeah.
I can agree with that. So I guess we can just move on to Detective Comics number 33. We have Batman Wars Against the Dirigible of Doom.
That is factually correct.
The issue front cover shows Batman in the daylight dropping down from, I guess, a bridge towards some people that look like they're firefighters for some reason. And when he's jumping down, he actually has a holster in his belt, and it's the first time we really see that.
There's no gun in it, though.
Yeah, it's oddly empty. Like, I don't know. Is that like a battering holster or something like that?
No,
is that what that was meant to
gun.
Be? Yeah. It's for a gun.
That is factually correct.
So our comic opens up to the Dirigible of Doom. Dune, which actually is a really nice image. It's weird to have a blimp actually not just like some silver color. It's painted red. You think it'd weigh it down a lot. I like it though. It's really fun. I really like the wings on the side that really don't accomplish much.
Batman seems to be driving a cloud in it.
He's kind of gawking like somebody driving past an accident or something like that.
It's like he's kicking those clouds. I'm going to call him Kick Cloud Kicker. So we start out Detective Comics 33 with a very familiar scene, which is the murder of the Wayne.
And right now it's just listed as Thomas, his wife, and his son. So we already know Bruce's name. We know his dad's name now. His mother's name is still a mystery. Apparently she doesn't matter.
Okay, who cares? Anyways, Joe shoots the dad and then shoots Martha because she says she's calling for the police. Apparently a woman calling for the police is less of an indicator than more of an indicator than a gunshot.
But she shot off panel, which is kind of odd. I don't know if they just want to show it or if it's just a weird
thing. Well, I do know that I think it's Silver Age. Martha's death is reconned into being a heart attack.
Oh, well, she's so shocked at what happened.
Yeah, she's so shocked that now... That obviously, that's not what's happening here, but I've heard that from somewhere because in the recent Grant Morrison stuff, he mentions that Martha could have survived the gunshot, but she died of, but her heart was too weak, and that was a reference to the fact that one of the versions of Martha's death has her just dying from a heart attack. So, anyways, Bruce is sad about it. He has four tears going down his face.
And when I wrote that down in my notes, I actually said, tears of a clown. It's just so goofy looking. Like, I can't take that sincere.
It's like in Dumbo when he's talking to his mother and it's this really sad scene.
Yeah.
But it's undercut by him just crying like the biggest, fakest tears.
Yeah, it's like sincerity kind of goes out the window just a little bit because of that.
So he's in his room and he pledges by candlelight that he will avenge the spirits of his parents and the deaths by spending the rest of his life warring on all criminals.
So he becomes a master scientist. He becomes a very good athlete.
Charles Atlas.
Who just smokes all the time because apparently there's no repercussions there. And eventually he actually is just sitting home. And this is probably a better shot at the size of his house than we've gotten before. Just sitting in this giant study, I guess.
Yeah,
and
just
thinking.
So he says that, and this is rather interesting for us as well, but this is a rather famous line. Criminals are a superstitious and cowardly lot.
We have title, yeah.
Titular line. So my disguise must be able to strike terror into their hearts. I must become a creature of the night. Black, terrible. And then a bat flies in, even though he was pretty much there on his own.
It's
black,
like,
and terrible.
He was just like looking for something around, and it's like, Joe Glass. That's it. I'll be Joe Glass, and I'll be the best Joe Glass I can be and fight criminals.
Which will become a joke later when they do like what ifs. When a snake comes in, he's like the sidewinder. They did that.
My favorite what if is the Green Lantern Batman one. I always love that one.
All right. We'll talk about your love for Green Lantern later. So, we start out our issue proper. Bruce is just walking around, smoking a pipe, as most master athletes do. Master athletes, like anybody's ever said that. When all of a sudden, and it's actually a pretty horrifying scene, a blimp that's bright red with yellow trimming comes in and shoots the fuck out of Manhattan.
And it's just a ton of buildings. You don't see people die, but it's implied that, like, thousands are pretty much
dead.
Oh,
no.
Because these buildings collapse.
Later on, like, in two issues, we get that thousands are dead, etc.
Oh, yeah, you know, I'm completely blind. It's right there. But I like that they first go in firing, knock a bunch of buildings down, and then they give that warning of, we've come to rule the world. We are the Scarlet Horde. Do what we say, pretty much. Which is, you kind of give that warning before you start shooting stuff up. But, you know, to each their own.
Also, what does that mean? I want to rule the world.
We've talked about that before.
We've talked about this before.
It's really hard to do.
You can't rule the world, especially not if you're just going to threaten with lasers.
I mean, if you're going to do it, you got to do it to, like, a smaller area or a different country. You just don't try to take over Manhattan. Like, it's kind of a big deal to do that. So that would go unnoticed and no one to contest it and for it to go well for you, which is something else. But either way, they, you know, knock a bunch of buildings down with this death ray. They kill a lot of people. And what I really like in this is that you see Bruce Wayne and not Batman, like, you know, helping with recovery efforts. And I thought that was a nice little touch. Like, there's not a hard line between I'm Batman, I'm Bruce Wayne. Right now, they're more symbiotic than you kind of get a sense of later on.
So, moving on, Bruce is like, well, this sounds somewhat familiar, these death rays. I'm going to look into my files. And apparently he has a bunch of files that just say what people that used to be in insane asylums are up to.
Yeah, and it says Professor Carl Kruger was released from an insane asylum. He was working on a death ray. and that he had a Napoleon complex. And this is very important. This plays in later on. When he goes into his, like, his secret lab and everything to do his research, which is the most research he's ever done, really.
But, like, it's not research. It's apparently something he already knows about. It's like, what was that, like, from Fahrenheit 9/11, where, like, they sent Bush a memo that was like, the Taliban is desperate to attack U.S. soil. Like, he already has all this weird intel.
But I'm not saying he did like a lot of research. I'm saying this is the most he's ever done. He's basically done a Google search. But what I find interesting is they basically imply that this is a hidden section of the house. That this is like is almost this like pre-Batcave kind of thing. But then in the same room, he goes to get his outfit to do some more investigating on Carl Krueger.
He looks really good, actually, too.
And he does. But he has window blinds in his secret room. Like, apparently it's just a fun door to walk through, but it's not really quite hidden.
There's also, like, pictures on the wall and stuff. So anyways, we're going to skip ahead a little bit because nothing really happens. He goes to where this guy lives.
Climbs up to the second floor of a building and watches the scene unfold, which is, you know, we're 7 issues in. This probably happened about 7 times.
He's got his lieutenants are all wearing, like...
Those are the Canadian Mounties, actually.
They look like Mounties, but, like, it's supposed to be Red Scare stuff. Well, right. No, actually, it wouldn't be. That's
right.
That's still a couple years away.
So I think they're more Canadian Mounties. And they're outlining their plan. They say that they have, you know, a few thousand men, and that in a few days they're going to execute the second wave of their attacks and everything. And they're really just going for general chaos and rob a bunch of banks to help fund future efforts. Really, you don't see Carl Krueger discussing this. You just see him in shadow talking to his lieutenants. And then it reveals that Carl Krueger with the Napoleon complex looks just like Napoleon. Like, it's so on the nose. And he's like also right behind a portrait of Napoleon. Like,
so Batman busts in. And it's just like, oh, you're a bad guy. I'm going to throw this at you. Throws his batarang at it, and he hits a big pane of glass. Because apparently this guy is so super prepared that not only does he have a big pane of glass, like he's fucking M from...
I kind of buy into that, though. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
James Bond movies, go on.
He's so prepared, but I kind of buy into that, though, because he's so crazy and kind of paranoid anyway. I'm willing to give it to him. But the thing that I don't really condone is, while Batman's distracted, someone, you know, moves a painting... And from behind a wall, knocks Batman down. They tie him up. And they say, Carl Krueger is speaking to him and says, you know, you're meddling. We're going to burn this place up. And when they find your body, this, you know, athlete that's dressed like Batman, they're going to think that it's me, this fat Napoleon looking dude. And no one's going to question anything.
And keep in mind, he's not known to anybody.
Yeah, right?
He has no reason to hide himself.
Well, I guess the police could find the same newspaper clipping that Bruce Wayne did. And they're actually a worse detective than Batman is right now, if you think about it.
So Batman cuts himself out, leaves. This is so stupid. Let's get all this money, but let's blow up a house to get rid of one person. He gets out in the nick of time, and he's miraculously escapes death.
He doesn't know where their HQ is, but he knows where one of the lieutenants lives.
It seems like he was just at the HQ, though.
Right, and they have apparently a secondary hangar where the blimp is at and everything. He scares one of the lieutenants into driving over to that HQ, and he reveals that he's still alive. So you think when he drives to this HQ that he'd be like, hey, Batman's still out there. Keep a lookout. He totally wastes his element of surprise.
He just grows up to this guy, picks him up and says, I'm still alive and I'm going to come back for you later. And he's like, oh no, he's going to come back for me later. I better lead him to our secret hideout.
And he goes and follows him. And when he gets close to their hideout, their airplane hangar, basically, he's like, okay, I'm going to hide myself in my bat plane. I'm going to use this smoke pellet to disguise and hide my location, but it's going to be a cloud shaped like the Batplane.
That's just hanging out there.
And it's just one solitary cloud. But the thing is, the stupid henchmen are just like, okay, one single cloud must be rain.
There's I know, it looks like rain.
There's nothing suspicious about one little cloud that's just following people over like it's a Warner Brothers.
So Bruce goes in, puts another gas pellet out there because that's all he's been doing
lately. He's clearing rooms left and right. And I like that he enters one room, he sees that there's a bunch of mini death rays, and he says, well, here goes, I hope I don't get blown up, and he fires at him. He's just taking some stupid chances, and just like, it might work.
Just has a gun, shoots him.
World's worst detective.
And then he goes to the dirigible, and he's just about to hit it with an axe when Fatty comes in and shoots him.
Is that his official name?
That's his official name.
No, let's call him Napoleon Sandwich.
Okay. So anyways, Fatty comes in and shoots him. And then, again, he just decides that he has Batman's mercy, so he better get one of the death rays to get him. And he has a great
justice.
Line. He says, it is ironical that his body shall be disposed of with the very machine he tried to destroy.
Is ironical a word?
It's not a word.
If it is, you can send any hate mail to sac.alfred@gmail.com.
Nice plug. But it's like, at the end of the issue... Batman just goes, "It is ironic that the man was captured by the very man that was trying to catch him."
And then he just blows him up and he turns into a little smoke cloud.
It's a Simpsons joke. Anyways, he blows him up because he has to leave the room, tells a guard to watch him. And that guard sneaks into the bat plane, and it's Bruce.
He's, you know, apparently he had the time to knock out the other guard, switch clothes with him, and, you know, let that guy die.
And then go home, and he says that he has a bulletproof vest on.
And then he has a little montage of him thinking of a plan. He does something to his plane, like he sprays some kind of chemical on it.
He gets shot in the back, but he decides to patch up his chest on the opposite side of where he got shot.
Oh, good point.
Yeah, he does.
So, I hadn't thought of that.
So anyways, asshole decides to threaten the world again. Again, this is supposed to get them domination of the world, but I don't know what plan B is.
So the next day, the blimp rolls down into Manhattan again. And before they can really start attacking the city, the Batplane shows up and is heading right for him. Batman's going to kamikaze this blimp. And when the blimp tries to defend itself and fire, we find out that the chemical that Batman put on his plane is somehow, you know, it makes it impervious to those death rays. So he hits into that plane and, or it hits into the blimp, and at the same time, a plane that's attached to the Crimson Horde's blimp flies away.
Fatty gets out in a blimp, and he's just about to leave when he notices Batman is parachuted away. Batman silk ropes him, climbs up, throws another gas vial in there, and causes the plane to crash, again killing another guy.
But I don't know why it kills that guy, and he lands in the same water at the same speed.
They fall at the exact same time, and it just says that they fished his body out of the river, and they didn't find the Batman, though, and Bruce is just like, well, I deserve a smoke for this.
Yeah, I like that he kind of confirms, like, he takes a pride in that he's confirmed this death. Unless he traded places with the first rescue worker on scene, they just assume that it's the guy.
Yeah, so he's killed, like, two people in this issue.
Definitely. It's not as violent as the previous issue where he shoots two vampire werewolves point blank with silver bullets.
And there's still wiggle room. It's like, oh, this guy crashed the plane because of what I did. It wasn't really me, but...
If I didn't know better, he could have totally come back, kind of like, what's it, Dr. Death or whatever, mm-hmm. kind of came back. Like, you could tell me that.
And but no, they're just like, guys, we know this one's not very good. Don't worry, he's dead.
And then he says the Batman will be back in the next Detective Comics, which they do pretty much every issue. But he does that Bela Lugosi, you know, cape holding thing again. And this time it actually looks a little bit nicer, but you see him holding that smoking gun.
He has a smoking gun, which is the second issue in the row that he's used it. So we'll see if he uses it again.
People always like to think that, like, Batman just hates guns and he'll never use them and everything. And then and in current continuity and in the past, you know, 30 years, that was definitely true. But like you said, for a little while,
we've seen two like issues, crazies. Though. We'll go on to this. The way some
or people, killing in general.
The way some people do it, it's like, yeah, he does kill people. But he really hasn't used a gun that much. He's used it twice. So let's go on with that. But so what do you think of this issue?
I like this a little bit more. And I touched on this a little bit. The fact that he does a little bit of research. I mean, not a lot, but he does a little bit of research, which is, you know, looking through some newspaper articles. And then it says that Carl Kruger was in an insane asylum and he had a Napoleon complex. And then he looks like Napoleon, exactly. And I think that that's odd. I think it's a little too on the nose, but at the same time, I love it. I just like that this guy that is so crazy that he has no problem, like, just walking into a room and being like, hey, my hero's Napoleon, which doesn't go very well for Napoleon, and just thinks that this commands respect. Like, he's paranoid. He likes to, you know, be behind thick glass that works out for him. He thinks he can just switch places with people and that they'll mistake his body for theirs if he ever needs, you know, fake his death or anything. I like it just for the fact that it seems so absurd, but it's absurd in a fun way. And a lot of this happens in the daylight, which is kind of nice, because I don't see that often for Batman comics in general. And maybe we'll see that more when we go through, like, you know, the 50s and stuff like that. But it's refreshing for me. You know, it's kind of nice. I do like the Napoleon guy, to be honest. What about you?
I hate it. So, so moving on.
Let us talk about what is coming up in the next episode of our podcast. We have Detective Comics number 34 and 35. And a few more after that. We finally get to Robin and everything. And then we can start skipping around a little bit. But in Detective Comics 34, we have Batman Inc. Part 2. He's in Paris again. And then Batman goes after some kidnappers. And in Detective Comics 35, we finally see the return of Commissioner Gordon. And
Gordon has been gone for a while.
It was the one issue, yeah. And then he goes into the case of the Ruby Idol. And this is just like just the racism that grandmother intended.
Oh, we got some.
There's a lot in there. It's like racist grandpa kind of stuff. I'll feel bad about it, but I'll think it's funny just because for how absurd it is, most likely.
The Archie Bunker effect.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. So that's what we have coming in the next episode. Yeah, I'm actually kind of looking forward to that, and hopefully I can stomach it a little bit more than monks that don't know what, you know, monster creature they are.
Or don't have really a clear plan at all.
No, it's just, was he into human trafficking? Like, he wanted, you know, a companion and he identified her? Did he want to hurt Bruce Wayne? That was the one where just a little bit of exposition, because they give you a lot of other reasoning and lines I don't really need. Just a little bit of exposition for that, and I'd be set.
Well, I mean, yeah. They had all his motives, but then he came in and he looked you in the eyes and made you forget it all. So, for the podcast, why don't you tell them how they can get into contact with us?
Oh, yeah, listeners can find us on Twitter. We are at SACBatPod. You can also use the hashtag of the same name to talk about us. If we think of another one, we'll try to spread that as best we can. You can also email us at sac.alfred@gmail.com. And you can listen to episodes of SAC on Apple Podcasts and on our current website listed below in the episode description. We'll also, by this point, definitely be on Google Play and most likely a few other podcast directories as well. And we'll make sure to add those into the episode descriptions. And with that, I have been John Pfeiffer.
And I'm very hot right now, so I'll see you next time.
Have a good one. Bye.
Welcome to... Nope.